Got your Bibles with you this morning, find a place in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. If you're in 1 Corinthians 15, I'll give you the opportunity to stretch your legs there for a minute and stand with us, and we're going to read verse number 12. Down through verse number 20, and I want to give you a thought that's been on my heart for weeks now for this Easter Sunday morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse number 12. Bible says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and our faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so, the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And in this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Lord, we love you this morning, and we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to preach the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for the visitation of the Holy Ghost this morning. God, I'm thankful that you've already proven yourself alive, and you've already proven yourself powerful, powerful enough to save. And God, I'm thankful for that. Lord, I'm glad for what you just did. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd not stop now. Do an eternal work in somebody's heart, we pray, in Christ's name, and amen. You can be seated. Now, it comes as no surprise to you that this morning is the celebration of Easter. Nor is it a surprise to you that this morning we are celebrating what I consider to be the greatest miracle known to mankind. 2,000 years ago, God, motivated by love, wrapped himself in flesh, and for 33 years he walked among mankind. He lived a perfect life. He lived a spotless life, yet he was despised and rejected of men. But that came as no surprise. The prophet Isaiah told us that it would be that way. Isaiah said in Isaiah 53:3, "For he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." You see, the world took this great gift of God for granted, and they hung his son upon a tree. Jesus was mocked. Jesus was beaten, and Jesus was finally crucified. And after 6 hours in agony, he bowed his head and he willingly died. And for days, his followers were filled with grief. In the heart of his disciples, it seemed that all hope was lost. The hope of Israel was lost. The one they had followed for 3 years was dead. They believed that Jesus was their Messiah. Now he is lying in a borrowed tomb. And for 72 hours, it seemed like the world stopped. For 72 hours, it seemed like that the earth stopped spinning. Their world had came to an end. Their hearts were broken. But on that 73rd hour, everything changed. On that 73rd hour, the stone was rolled back. Christ arose from the grave, and he stepped forward victorious over death. You see, this is the event that we are celebrating this morning. This is the event that caused us to meet together today. This is the greatest event known to the history of mankind. I find it interesting that not everybody believes what you and I believe about this resurrected Savior. In fact, the men and women in Corinth that Paul writes to, many of them did not believe in the resurrection, hence him writing chapter number 15. The story of the resurrection is an important one. Therefore, Paul wants to stress it to them one more time in the pages of the Word of God. Let me show you three things he says to them by way of introduction. Then I'll give you my message very quickly. Paul in chapter 15 tells them the good news. In verse 2, 3, and 4, Paul presents them with the gospel message. The word gospel means good news. The gospel is a good news message. The truth that Christ was crucified, that he was buried, and that he rose again is good news. Jesus did not vanish away. He was not stolen away by his disciples. He did not disappear. He arose. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. That's good news. Amen. He not only showed them the good news, he showed them the great witnesses. He said in verse 5 through verse 8, he explained to them that Christ was seen after his crucifixion. He was seen privately by Peter. He was seen of the 12 all at one time. He was seen of a group of over 500. Finally, he was seen of James and he was seen of Paul. There was no disputing the fact that Christ was alive. He was alive and they could not dispute it. Hey friend, the gospel's not a fairy tale. The gospel is not a simple-minded story for simple-minded people. And when God expects you to believe the gospel, he does not want you to take a shot in the dark. He wants you to believe the historical fact that he is alive, that he was dead, but he's alive. He was crucified, but he's alive. They saw him. They testified to the fact he got up that Easter morning. In fact, can I say this in passing? If you have a hard time believing that he is alive, I have a hard time believing that you are saved. Amen. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse number 11, it says, he came into his own and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Hey, I'm telling you, in order to be saved, you've got to believe. You got to believe that he was. You got to believe that he died. You got to believe that he rose again. And if you've got a hard time with that, you might not be saved. He preached to them the gospel, the good news. He preached to them the group of witnesses. And then he preached to them a great tragedy. In chapter 12 or chapter 15, verse 12 through 19, Paul presents to us a series of ifs, a great series of tragedies that would come had not Christ risen from the dead. If Jesus did not arise that first Easter morning, then that means all of our preaching is vain. For thousands of years, men have stood and proclaimed that Jesus was the way of God. They have proclaimed, men like Peter and men like Paul, men like Charles Spurgeon and Jonathan Edwards, men like Sam P. Jones and D.L. Moody. Hey, even my preaching this morning, as small and feeble as it may be, it's in vain. Hey, it's worthless. It's meaningless. It's a waste of time had not Christ arisen. But he did get up. Hey, he said, not only is our preaching vain, but our faith is vain. Hey, if there had not been an Easter morning, there would be no preaching. If there was no preaching, there would be nothing to believe. Our faith would be in vain. We would have nothing to grasp on to, nothing to hold on to if Christ did not arise. He said, those that died have perished. Hey, the dead, there's been thousands, yea, maybe millions that have died believing the scriptures. They believed that Jesus was the way to God. They believed that Jesus was the power to conquer death. And if he did not arise that Easter morning, they died believing in vain. They are perished. They are in hell. There's nothing for us to look forward to when we die if Christ did not arise. In fact, he says, really and truly, we're all on our way to hell had not Christ arisen that first Easter morning. But I'm glad after he presents that series of tragedies, those ifs, he says in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead. You see, all those tragic things are not a reality. I do not have to worry about all of those ifs that Paul mentioned because Jesus did get up. Jesus did arise victorious. Easter is a reality. What you and I are celebrating this morning is real. He's alive forevermore. Amen. For the past several weeks, maybe even months, I've thought about this message I wanted to preach on Easter. And the thought is kind of a different one. Maybe this would not be the normal title for an Easter message. But as I began to read chapter 15, the thought crossed my mind, boy, you know, there's a lot of things I missed out on because of Easter. And I want to preach this morning on the thought, some things I missed out on because of Easter. Some things I missed out on because of Easter. I see three of them in chapter 15. I'll give them to you quickly. I want you to notice this. Number one, something I've missed out on because of Easter is I've missed out on death. The Bible says in verse 22, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You know, all the story. We all know how that Adam in the Garden of Eden was told by God that in the day that he ate that fruit, in the day that he sinned, that he would die. The Bible says that Adam would die. What Adam did not know was that his sin would plunge all of humanity into sin. And because of his sin, not only would he die, but all of us would die. You see, each one of us in the building this morning are sinners. Can we all agree on that? The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, A-double-L, all. That means you and that means me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hey, if you do not realize that you're a sinner, you're in a bigger mess than you realize. You're in a more hopeless condition than you realize. But you're a sinner. You've done wrong and I've done wrong. Hey, and we are all sinners in the eyes of God. And as a result of sin, the punishment of that sin is death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Adam sinned and so he died. You sinned and so you're going to die. Death is an inevitability. You will go the way of the grave should time go on. Hey, we're all going that way. We're all sinners. We're all doomed to death. And death is a fearful thing. Death is a sad thing. Death is an uncertain thing. But because we're sinners, we're all going to die. Thousands of years after Adam failed with his tree in the Garden of Eden, a man named Jesus Christ dealt with a tree of his own. And on Calvary's hillside, he gave his life. He shed his blood. He died victorious that day. Hey, you see, death had no claim on Christ. Death had no hold on Christ. Yet he died anyways. He dealt with his tree. He dealt with Calvary. And now because he died, I don't have to spend eternity dying. I do not have to die throughout eternity. I can live. I've been given life. He not only died, but he arose. And because he arose and he lives, I get to live too. I'm talking about he's alive. Hey, let me say this about death. Hey, I want you to know that Christ conquered death. Verse 26 and verse 27 says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he shall put all things under his feet. But when he hath put all things under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. Hey, I'm telling you, each one of us are doomed to death. All of us are sinners. Yet Jesus was different. Jesus lived a perfect life. He never sinned. Death had no claim on him. Death was not his master. He instead was the master of death. And when he died on Calvary, he willed to die. He chose to die. He gave his life that day. But Scott, do you realize, had Christ not bowed his head and said, it is finished, God, into thy hands I commend my spirit, he'd live forever on that cross. Death had no hold on him. It had no claim on him. He willingly gave up his life. And after spending 3 days in the clutches of death, he came up to old man death and said, hey, I got news for you, big boy. I'm not staying here any longer. I'm leaving. I'm checking out. Death said, nobody's ever checked out before. He said, you never dealt with nobody like me before. And he got up that morning. He got up. He's alive, I'm telling you. He conquered death. He was victorious over death. And because He conquered death. I'm going to live because he lives. Amen. I can see death as Christ walks out of that grave victorious. Oh man, death's laying in a corner somewhere in a feeble position, probably shaking and crying. And Jesus said, just so you know who the boss is, big boy, I'm taking the keys of death and hell with me. I'm the master of death. You say, Brother Josh, people are still dying. They sure are. They sure are dying. But I tell you what, those that know Jesus Christ, death is a little bit different. I didn't say that right. Those that know Jesus Christ, death's a whole lot different. Amen. You see, when I close my eyes in death, I don't know when it'll be, but I know when I close my eyes in death, on that day I'll be more alive than I've ever been. Hey, I'm gonna trade this whole man in on a new one. I'll have more life that day than I've ever had. I'm telling you, to the child of God, we've got eternal life to look forward to. Hey, Christ conquered death. He sure did. Not only did Christ conquer death, but I get to live because Christ cleansed my sins. Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus arose that morning, his work of redemption wasn't quite done. Boy, the kids did a good job of depicting it this morning. I can see Christ as he arises from the grave that morning. Those women came searching for him. Oh, Mary Magdalene, Hannah did a good job with that. Oh, Mary Magdalene, come down there. She was going to anoint his dead body. But when she got there, she discovered something that took her by surprise. He was not in that tomb. Boy, she began to weep and she began to cry. And she saw a man. She thought he was the gardener. And she said, sir, if you've taken him, if you'll just tell me where you've laid him, I'll do something with his body. Just tell me where you've put him. She didn't realize who she was talking to, Sister Helen. But then he said that one word that changed everything. He said that one word that got her attention. That one word was Mary. Boy, he said that name. Ain't nobody ever said that name like he said that name. And when he said that name, she knew who said that name. And she knew it was him. Boy, if I read the scriptures right, she wanted to grab him and hold on to him. But he said, Mary, don't do that, honey. I've still got work to do. I've got to ascend to my Father and to your Father, my God and your God. And he ascended. The Hebrew writer said, Brother Wally, he walked into that throne room in heaven. He walked into that tabernacle in heaven where the mercy seat was, and he had his own blood in his hands, not the blood of bulls and goats, but his own blood. And he walked in there and he took his own blood and began to sprinkle it on the mercy seat. I believe he sprinkled it seven times. And when he sprinkled it the seventh time, God said, it's finished. I'm satisfied. And my sins were cleansed that day. Hallelujah. My sins are gone. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ conquered death for every man. Oh, he conquered death. He cleansed my sins. Lord, have mercy. Something I missed out on because of Easter. I missed out on death. I'm glad I missed out on death. My sins are gone. I've been forgiven. I've been made right in the eyes of God because he got up that Easter morning. I want you to see this number two. Not only did I miss out on death because of Easter, something I missed out on because of Easter. Number two, I missed out on deterioration. Deterioration. Verse number 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. If my sins have been forgiven and escaping death was not good enough, Paul goes on to tell us that we've escaped deterioration as well. What I mean by that is this. When Adam sinned in the garden, he not only was punished with spiritual death, but he was punished with physical death as well. Had Adam not sinned in the Garden of Eden, he'd still be living in the Garden of Eden today.
But God punished Adam's body. Had it not been for his sin, he would still be in perfect health today. But as a result of sin, Adam's body began to break down. It began to deteriorate over time. Adam was taken from dirt, and to dirt he would return. Hey, I want you to know something this morning. The tragedy of sin is not just death, but the tragedy of sin's deterioration. If you don't believe me, look around you this morning. There's some people sitting right here this morning, and I mean no offense by this, but let's just be honest. Some of us have wrinkles, and some have gray hair. Lord of mercy, some have no hair. Y'all can help me out. Help me out, Brother Gill. Help me out right there. You about to help me out. You might as well say amen too. I'm going to come over here and preach for a minute, Sister Helen. But listen to me. Hey, I'm telling you, some of us got no hair. Some of us got sore joints. Some of us have, some of us own canes. You know what's happened? Death has taken hold. That old man, death, has got a hold of us. And as we go on, we begin to deteriorate. Our bodies are breaking down. God took us from the dirt and he's sending us back to it. We're returning to that dirt. We'll all go in the grave. I've told you that. Our bodies are breaking down. But I've got good news. Paul said in this chapter that because Jesus arose, I've got something to look forward to. Not only do I have eternal life to look forward to, but he's going to give me a brand new body. He's going to let me trade this one in. Hey, we're going to make a transaction one day, and this body will break down and go away. But God's got a better one waiting on me. Hey, watch this. Watch this. There's a trade. There's a trade in these verses. Verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. And so in this corruptible shall put on incorruption. And this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Hey, this body that we're living in is deteriorating, but soon we'll trade it in. There's coming a good trading day. There's coming a day when this corruptible body will be made an incorruptible body. There'll come a day when this mortal man will become an immortal man. Hey, I'll have that glorified body. I'll have that new body. Hey, that's the hope of the child of God. Hey, there's hope of heaven. But there's hope of a better body. This body we're living in, you know, it grows tired. It grows weak. It grows sick. It fights depression. It fights heartache. But that new body won't know those things. That new body won't understand what sickness is. That new body won't understand what cancer is. It won't understand what depression is. It won't understand. Hey, it won't know those things. It's going to be a brand new body. Well, I remember several years back, my grandmother passed away. She had fought sickness for many years. She was sick. Her body had turned against her. And I remember in those last days, her laying in the hospital and finally slipped into a coma and slipped into eternity. But I remember, and y'all don't have to believe this. I'm okay with it if you don't. But I remember just a few days before she died, I was laying in bed sleeping one night, and I started dreaming about my grandma. And I went to the hospital the next day and I held her hand. And I don't know if she could hear me or not, but I said, Grandma, I dreamed about you last night. I said, but Grandma, you didn't have these spots all over your arms from cancers and liver spots. I said, Grandma, you didn't have those and your hair wasn't gray anymore. It was dark again. You had a new body. I'm telling you, friend, you say that's just a fairy tale. No, I believe it's real. I believe it's just as real as this one is. In fact, I think it's more real than this one is. I'm glad I've got something to look forward to, a trading day when we lay this one down and we pick up that brand new body. Won't that be a good day? I see the trade. But not only do I see the trade, I see the time. You say, when's this going to happen? Hey, it's going to happen at the time of the resurrection. Verse 52, in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You ask me, when will this take place? This trade will take place on resurrection morning. Hey, one rapture morning. Hey, the dead in Christ are going to get up, and when they get up, they're going to have a brand new body that day. Hey, the Bible says in 1 John 3:2, behold, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we're going to be like him, because we're going to see him like he is. Hey, I'm telling you, there's coming a trading day. There's coming a time of trade on the resurrection morning. Boy, can you imagine when those graves burst open, those dead saints get up, and Christ takes their spirit and takes that new body, and he joins them together. You know, I got to thinking about it. I couldn't go through eternity in this body if I wanted to. I wouldn't want to, but I couldn't if I wanted to. This body couldn't stand it. The Bible says no man can look upon God and live. I couldn't even be in his presence in this body. I'd wear out. I'd get tired of all that shouting and rejoicing and praising going on over there. But God's going to give me a new one. God's going to give me a new one. Amen. God's going to give me one fitted for my new environment, fitted for that eternity. Hey, can I say, just take a time out. This wasn't even in my notes, but let me say something. Hey, if you're not saved, you're getting a new body too. You say, I don't know if I believe that. Hey, I've got news for you. This body couldn't last through eternity in hell either. It'd be burned up. It'd be consumed. It'd be destroyed. But just like those saints of God are going to live forever throughout eternity in that new body, God's going to give you a new body too, so that you can die forever in hell. Boy, I tell you what, I missed out on some things because of Easter. I missed out on death. I missed out on deterioration. Last of all, I'm done. I missed out on defeat because of Easter. Verse 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I can imagine the day that Adam and Eve walked out of the Garden of Eden, they walked out defeated. No doubt they hung their heads in shame as they left the garden that day. Satan had won the battle. He had robbed them of the blessings of God. He had caused death to pass upon all of humanity. They were defeated. Just as they were defeated that day, men and women are defeated today. We live in a defeated society. Suicide, depression, anger control issues, divorce, road rage, they're all at an all-time high. You know why? People are defeated. But when Christ walked out of that grave on Easter morning, he was not the one defeated. Death was defeated and Jesus was victorious. Jesus won the battle that day. He was victorious. Now, according to Paul in verse 57, he's made all of us victorious as well. Look at this. I've escaped defeat. I escaped it today. Verse 57 says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. The wording in verse 57 is not, but thanks be to God which gave or will give us the victory. It's giveth. That's in the continual state. That means that Christ gave us the victory then. He's giving us the victory now. And he'll give us the victory tomorrow. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, that means that I can be a winner today. The next time the enemy comes by and tries to convince you that you're a loser, that you're good for nothing, that you're worthless, you tell him he's a liar. Amen. Jesus said you're victorious. Amen. Not only am I victorious today, but I'll be victorious tomorrow. Verse 15, or chapter 15, verse 19. If in this life only we had hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Jesus has made me victorious in this life, but he's also made me victorious in the next. There's some men and some women that seem to be on top of the world. They seem to have the world on a string. like they've got life figured out. But if they do not know Christ, they're losers. They're miserable. The famous preacher D.L. Moody told about a Christian woman who was always bright and cheerful and optimistic, even though she was confined to her room because of illness. She lived in an attic apartment on the fifth floor of an old rundown building. A friend decided to visit her one day and brought along another woman, a person of great wealth. Since there was no elevator, the two ladies began to climb the long steps upward. When they reached the second floor, the well-to-do woman commented, "What a dark, filthy place." Her friend replied, "It's better higher up." When they arrived on the third landing, the remark was made, "Things look even worse here." Again, the reply, "It's better higher up." The two women finally reached the attic level where they found the bedridden saint of God. A smile was on her radiating face. Joy was filling her heart. Although the room was clean and flowers were in the window sill, the wealthy visitor could not get over the stark surroundings in which this woman lived. She blurted out, "It must be very difficult for you to live here like this." Without a moment's hesitation, the shut-in responded, "It's better higher up." She was not looking at temporal things. She had her eye of faith fixed on eternal things. She found security and satisfaction knowing it's better higher up. Hey, I'm a winner today. I'm a winner because I know Jesus Christ. But if you think it's good today, it's better higher up. If the world's against you today, good news, it's better higher up. I'll be a victor one day after a while. Well, Brother Eric comes, Brother Scott comes with a song. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, nobody looking around. If you're a Christian this morning, you're praying. I wonder as we give an invitation, if you're here this morning and you're lost, if today would be the day you finally admit it. Is today the day you finally let go and give in? God loves you. Jesus died for you. He took death so that you didn't have to face it. You can be a winner today, a winner in Jesus Christ. God's waiting, we're waiting. If you're here this morning not saved, I invite you to get up out of your pew, come down here, and we'll pray with you.